Welcome, everybody. It's great to have you here. And just give us a moment as we are just getting started. I'm just getting some things set up for my guests to join us. So enjoy the music, and we will be right back with you. Yes, wonderful.
Perfect.
Just give me a moment. I'm going to stop the music. Great. Welcome. Welcome, Elias. And hey, thank you, Wendy, for joining us today. And it looks like we have about 124 people listening in. And our listeners are very shy, although I would really love it if today people would get the courage to ask questions at the right time when I signal you. But I just want to welcome you to embodying all of you tools for living consciously. And today I have a very special guest with me. His name is Elias. And Elias, I don't know, would you prefer to be called Elias or your other name, Japhet?
Elias Ahmed? Is great.
Elias is great.
Good. Thank you, yes.
Good. Well, I want to introduce Elias because he's got such a diverse background, and I think our listeners would really love to hear a little bit about who you are. So Elias is Mexican-born, born and raised in Mexico. He's a self-taught visual artist specializing in multimedia and the healing arts, which include yoga and astrology. And he was born into a family of healers, which has had a major impact on his life. I've had the pleasure and privilege of actually getting a healing session from Elias's father. So that was really interesting as well. So for Elias, astrology has been part of his field of interest since he was 7 years old. And he has been collecting diverse knowledge about how to understand the other through yoga, energy body work, tarot, permaculture, and an authentic interest for the other. And so Elias has had more than 11 years of experience teaching yoga internationally. He spent 6 years living in nature on the island of Ometepe in Nicaragua. And after his return to city life, he began to venture into the study and practice of Kabbalah, which brought back his primary interest in astrology. In this way, a cycle of inner development was fulfilled that has resulted in the externalization of his experience through service to the public with a spiritual vision, which seeks to create an expanded understanding of the hidden and true side of being. Wow. that's a bit of a mouthful, yeah? Elias is 34 years old, and he's living currently living in Mérida, Mexico, and where he's obviously teaching yoga and offering his services in astrology. So thank you so much for coming today, Elias. Welcome.
It's my pleasure, Michelle. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm very surprised for how nice it sounds, all that you say. Thank you.
Well, you gave me the information, and I tweaked it a little bit to make it a little bit shorter. But I think it's always wonderful to have that reflected back to us, who we are or what we do and why we ended up coming to where we are today. And so I've personally gone to yoga classes, and Elias teaches beautiful yoga classes. I've also had an astrology reading with Elias, so I'm a bit familiar with his work, and I really love what you're doing, Elias, and I'd love you to tell us a little bit more about, you know, how you got into astrology. Was there any kind of turning point or catalyst in your life that you went, wow, this is it, this is what I want to do?
Yeah, of course. Well, the truth is that having interested in astrology since I was very young, so I really don't have like a well-defined moment in my life that I can remember where I have like had the moment, you know, of starting in astrology. I just remember that since I was, I don't know, about 6 years old, I was asking everyone's star sign. And this was of a peculiar interest to me. So I would say that there were two moments, two events that made me bring special focus into astrology. It was in my adulthood, and it was because I met someone that was doing magic and astrology. And I was very interested about this, you know, like I was like, well, this seems very amazing. And I had the fortune to receive a natal chart in the Mayan astrology. And it came to happen that it was very similar to what I already knew about my own astrology chart in the Western astrology. So I could see the confluences, you know. So this was something that made me feel really amazed about astrology. I just realized that it was a knowledge that was beyond cultures. And at that time, I was also studying in transcultural art. So to me, it was like, oh, wow, astrology is amazing. It's a knowledge that goes beyond borders. It's just something that everyone knows in the different cultures. So I had some kind of resistance towards astrology. It was like I was very interested, but at the same time, I was a little bit skeptical. It was to me something like how good it is for someone to know the influence of the planets in their life. What of good is this? Like what benefit? How do you utilize this information? I don't know. I think that I had some kind of prejudice about this. To me, it seemed like dangerous, you know, to get to know things about your potential future or to get to know things about, I don't know, things that you might prefer to keep a secret or not to stimulate, you know, something that you don't want to remember about your past, etc. I don't know. There was a part of me that was still not fully open about astrology. I had the idea that it was something that you should not do. But then I recently started to be influenced by Kabbalah, and that definitely changed my point of view on astrology. Because then I understood that depending on the astrologist, then you get the points that you can use for your benefit. The main point is to understand that what you receive in your read is a decree. And you want to receive decrees that are formulated in a luminous way, It means you don't want to receive something that is going to make you enter into a prison, you know, of a fate that is unchangeable. So, yeah, so when I understood that the effect of the planets and that all the energies that are contained within our astrological charts are actually changeable, we can transform our destinies. We have tools available to make these influences harmless, and instead of making them gross and hard as for a fate, they become energies that we can use into our favor. So that was the point. It was very recent, like 4 years ago, when I decided that I was really going to turn my attention into the study of astrology from a Kabbalistic point of view.
Wow, that's really fascinating, and I've never heard that, and I've had other charts done before, but you're the first astrologer that has ever talked about the Kabbalistic point of view and how we can change the the influences that are maybe not so beneficial. And can you speak a little bit more to that? Because you mentioned that in my reading that there's actually some kind of meditations that you can do, or is there something specific that can help you to change those negative influences?
Yeah, certainly. Well, it is said that we all people are a tree of life. We have contained within ourselves all the planets, the seven planets, and the 12 star signs. And depending on our karma, we gain a body, and this body has its own influences. This body is given by the parents. So this normally makes us attracted to certain things in life, and also we feel rejection to other things. In this way, we define ourselves. So what the Kabbalah teaches, what the Sefer Yetzirah teaches, which is more like the manual, the Jewish mysticism specifically for countering the effect of the planets, is meditation. You have the effects on the planets influencing your animal soul, but not your divine soul. The divine soul is capable of connecting with a source that is higher than the planets, is more primal, and is always available. So when we connect with this source, then we gain the awareness to understand the influences that are falling into us, that we are receiving, and then they don't seem like accidents. Then they become something that we understand and that we use. In this sense, we have to have the ability to move above the planets, and this is gained throughout different techniques. We have to understand the power of meditation. We have to understand the power of the elements. How do we elevate our consciousness throughout the movement of the air? You know, there is the visualization that we use to connect more with the creative brain, which is heightening our ability to go to the abstract, to the infinite. Normally, we are working more on the plane of the structure of the world of materialism. But then, when we are meditating, when we are specifically doing the meditations on Kabbalah, then we move more to the right side of the brain, and then that's where we get the impulse to move really high. So the Kabbalistic meditation teaches the Hebrew alphabet, and this is a group of letters that their design have a very profound meaning. By studying the meaning of the letters, then we also have the mental image. We recover each letter when meditating. There is a visualization. Someone that does the meditation needs to understand what is that you need at that time, what is that you need to learn, and what's that you need to study, so then you can start on the practice of the Kabbalistic meditation. Yeah, but in general, it is about having a discipline for strengthening the right brain, because that's where we have the power to move above the influence of the planets. And that's what Kabbalah, which is very huge, which is immense, is what it has to teach us about astrology. We want to understand how the planets are influencing us in order to move upon them.
Wow, that is absolutely fascinating, Elias, and it's just so different from other astrologers that I've encountered. So I love what you're saying, and I just want to check in with the audience. Does anybody have any questions? Have are you? I'm not exactly sure. What, maybe they meant how are you? sorry, whoever that is. Haji Vahid, you know, please rewrite your question if you have a question. But welcome, you're welcome. Everybody's welcome. Thank you for all the people that are coming into the live studio. This is great. So I'd love to ask you, what do you feel in terms of, you know, this path that you've been on? And you can even include, you know, what you're doing with yoga and astrology. You know, what have been some of the gifts of being on this path of, you know, really self-discovery and growth? And what have been some of the challenges for you?
Yeah, the first thing that comes to my mind is like, it is an adventure. Mm. It is exploring different worlds, you know, everything that seems to be out there. It's really happening inside. So just what you said, I have this there's a saying that I learned several years ago that has caused a strong influence in my life. It says, whatever is here is elsewhere, and whatever isn't here is not anywhere else. And I really like it. You know, the meaning is definitely about understanding that everything that we see outside is happening inside. Yeah. There is nothing else, nothing to seek, just by going in and understanding what is going on inside, then we have the ability to start transforming things. You know, on the basic level, I used to think that the more I was moving my chakras, when doing yoga, when doing meditation, when doing pranayama, then the more I was going to be able to transform my world, you know? So I was having this understanding of, okay, the more I get the consciousness of my first chakra, then the more I'm going to feel grounded to the world. And this is going to manifest in my substance. This is going to manifest in my sensation of understanding the things that are occult to my eyes, you know, of having the trust in my intuition, and in the same manner on each of the chakras. So to me, it has been fascinating seeing how mutable this world is. And I think that this is one of the things that I appreciate the most, and that I'm most grateful with the source of life, because I have had the chance of experiencing several things that I think that it would be very difficult for me to explain in words. Actually, to me, it seems like there are several lives contained in one. You know, I understand that this happens to everyone, but to me, it has a special meaning, this part of dying and being born again, when you are willing to nullify yourself just to understand the truth, you know. And there is this thing that I think that is very important for me, that I've learned throughout this past, that it's very important to do before understanding. You know, some people need to understand things, and then in this way they close the door. It's like, if they don't have the rational means for starting a venture, then they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But what I've learned is that you need to go with steps, you need to do things, and you need to understand that you're going to fail in the things that you're going to do, that you're going to face obstacles in your way. But that this is good because you're going to have experience, and throughout this experience, you're going to make your own life path. You're going to unfold your own magic, and you're going to gain your own philosophy of life. And I think that this is what I really like, and what I've been understanding the more, that these challenges I have found, the several I have had, like I think that I have placed myself in different situations of risk and trying to understand certain things. And like having, I don't know, just moving in on adventures where I was really not prepared. Like I'm speaking about traveling, for instance. I'm speaking about just doing certain, meditations, mantras, things that I was really not understanding. The first time that I was doing yoga, I started with mantras and I had no idea what it was. I didn't have someone that was telling me you should do the mantra in this way. So I was mostly trying to connect with the experience itself. I was understanding the mantra technically, but then I needed to practice mantra for years. And really, like trying to find the right place, following the instructions. And I had also the chance to get to know several teachers and real masters that were then, giving their influence and just trying what they were doing, always considering that what was working for them was not necessarily going to work for me, you know. And well, moving energies is also bringing a lot of change in life. It's normally necessary to leave behind the several things. There is no room for attachment, and there is no place for sentimentalism. And there is then this commitment for seeking the truth. And this is mostly about really rejecting everything that is a distraction, going on a retreat in nature, just connecting more inside, getting comfortable with being just yourself, and all of this is really wonderful. It's a gift. It's amazing, but it is also challenging. It's both simultaneously.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. And just kind of going back to astrology again, can you share any insights about how astrology can help people get a deeper understanding of self?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, so I think that I'm just going to give some examples. The different houses in astrology in a natal chart are going to show the scenarios of life where a person is going to manifest the most of their archetypical energies. So, for example, if you have several planets in a house in the 10th house, then discipline, responsibility, your work, and structure are going to be very important for your commitment, your status, what people think about you, what is your position, and all of this is going to be relevant. In the same way, if you have several planets in the fourth house, then it would be something more related to home, to your family, to the people that is very close to you, to the way you decorate your space, to how you relate to your role as a mother or as a father, so we have several scenarios. We have actually 12 scenarios, and by understanding the scenarios, by understanding the full chart, we're going to find out that the energies that we have in abundance are also going to tell us what kind of karma is the karma that we have to learn the most from throughout our lives. So, for example, if you have a lot of karmic energy in Leo, then you're going to find out throughout your life that there are certain things that are difficult for you, and there are also certain things that are easier for you. Like Leos are normally very sympathetic. I'm speaking about having abundant energy of Leo, yeah? And also it's going to depend on the full chart. I'm just giving a brief and general example.
Right.
That if you have the most common characteristics of Leo, you're going to be outgoing, you're going to be flirty, and like the center of attention. You're going to be brilliant in the eyes of everyone. You're going to embrace everyone's ideal. And it's like the king is the one that is the leader. And everyone is following that person because that person has a special kind of magnetism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is the karma that Leo has. It's something that is good. It's amazing having this energy. But then on the other hand, it also leads to the obscure or the shadow part of Leo, which is being the center of attention, having the leadership, being the king. Can also make a tyrant, can also make a bad king and a bad leader, someone that leads people into things that are not good, you know. And it can, having this power then could make people go into fulfilling the desires of the leader, you know, seeing the convenience and on the things that are his wishes and his personal desires. And in this sense, then it comes the imposition of his will. And in this case, then it becomes something that eventually is going to bring problems to his life. It's going to become necessary to understand that he's really not the center of the universe, that there are rules that are governing the society, and that there are courts of law, that there is an order, and that everyone has their own freedom, and that everyone is unique. So when Leo has to face these facts, it becomes challenging, because then Leo cannot understand how is it possible that there is so difference among people? Why is everyone so different? So then here is where the lesson starts. Leo then starts questioning what's going on internally, and then something happens and is willing to change its nature. And from this point, then we see that the soul starts learning something, then starts shifting from one primal state of evolution to a higher one. So understanding this karma brings us the opportunity to transform ourselves. It's like having your schedule of the tasks that you have to do in your homework. And then you can go ahead, you know the lessons, and then you can follow step by step what are the lessons that you need to do. So when we don't have the awareness of the lessons or the karma that we have, then we move blindly. Things happen by accident. This is called fatalism. Is your fate. It's like, oh, someone asks to himself, why is this happening to me? I don't understand what is happening to people. Why did my child have this accident? Why do I not get along with my mother? Why did I have this difficult childhood, etc., etc.? This is the idea of fate, thinking and having this victimization point of view.
Yeah.
And have pity about yourself, you know? But then you have to understand that these things are happening for a reason. There is no real bad about this. It's just a process that the soul has to pass through in order to become more luminous and more perfect. So when you take your karma and you understand that you have the danger keeping the example of the Leo, and you know that you could become a tyrant if you are not careful with your power, then you can start going in your and studying your complementary energy, which in the case of Leo would be Aquarius. And then Aquarius is going to show you that it's important that everyone has their own freedom, that everyone has the ability to fulfill their own needs, you know, and that they feel satisfied. You know, all the impulse of Leo, all the fire, all the charisma, then is balanced with the energy of Aquarius, which is about more the intellect and understanding that everyone is very important, and that everyone that shares your ideals, you want to be with that group. You want to be part of society. You are one with others, and it's not just yourself imposing your domain. You know, this is what Leo has to understand. And I'm just speaking in general terms, you
Yes,
know,
I
but
understand. Yes. Yes.
yeah.
But it's fascinating, Elias. And before we get any further, I just want to ask you, how can people get in touch with you? And I'm going to put this in the comments, and later I'll post it on my Podbean page that I have up. But what are your socials? What's your Instagram, for example?
Okay, my Instagram, let me check. I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure about this. I actually don't use Instagram that often.
Okay.
But I have it
Maybe
here.
Wendy knows. I think your girlfriend Wendy is on the call. Maybe she could quickly, if you don't mind, Wendy, type it and put it in the box for us. That would be awesome.
Yeah, actually, I'm seeing that in the Instagram,
Yeah.
I am as
What are you at? That's funny, you don't know your own
Adi.
socials. That's
Yeah,
you
it's
gotta,
funny,
that's
right?
important because, so people can get in touch with you, and I
Okay.
want you to have that opportunity. Okay, good.
Thank you. I have it now.
Okay, great.
So this is my username. I think that this is what we are looking for.
Yeah.
And this is Elias Faja. 1987, and you spell it as an Elias Faja. 1988.
Got it.
87,
Wonderful.
87, sorry, 1987.
1987. Okay. Got it. Perfect.
Yes.
Thank you. And
Yeah, of course. Also, you can find me on Facebook as Elias Faja, Elias Gilberto Faja Martinez.
Elias, oh, that's a long one.
That's a long one.
Maybe you can type it in the box for us if you get a moment, or maybe if Wendy could do it, that would be awesome if she doesn't mind. That's a little bit too long for me.
It's a little bit long, I know.
I've got
I'm just
Elias
typing it now.
Fala 1987 for your Instagram. I put that in there. And
There you go. I just typed it.
okay, did I do that wrong? Did I put too many L's?
Yeah,
Yeah, that's
there's an additional L. So I'm going to write as it is,
you want to fix
Elias
that?
Faja,
Faja.
1987.
I'll
There we
correct
go.
that. Thank you for correcting that for me. So
Of course,
I
thank you.
will put all of these in on the page later on after the show. So this is great. This is in case people are interested in getting a reading with Elias. His readings are very insightful, and I think that they really give you a kind of guidepost, how to navigate through what's coming up in your chart, what's coming up in the next few months. It gives you a heads up so that you're not shocked and you can kind of better prepare for what lies ahead for you, so to speak. I mean, obviously you're not a fortune teller and you're not speaking exactly what's going to happen, but you're sharing what kinds of influences the planets are having on their chart. And so I think that that can be really helpful for people that are seeking to get a bit more clarity about what are their next steps in their lives. So I know it was helpful for me. And that kind of leads me to the next question. I'd love to know, Elias, what makes your readings different from other astrologers? I mean, I know you shared a lot about the Kabbalah, and that's already one thing. But if you have some other things that you feel are different about your astrology readings, that would be great if you could share that with us.
Yeah, of course. I think that the main thing that I consider that is the different in my readings is that I speak a lot about your dominant energy mm-hmm. and also about your governing planet. Mm-hmm. So with these two, you have the energy that you can learn the most from. Normally, people identifies with their sun sign, but then when you realize that actually you have a certain amount of an energy that is not necessarily your sun sign, you might feel identified the more with that energy. You know, some people say like, I'm a Pisces, but then you find out that they have more energy of Scorpio. And then they say like, oh, of course. And now I understand. I feel more identified with that energy. And now speaking about the planets, you see, you have one planet that has most more interactions. And then in that way, you see that there is like, what is leading my way? What is the way in which I am manifesting the most in my life? And then in this way, you can also understand where you can move, what other areas of your life you can explore that have a lot of potential. You know, normally there is one ruler that is telling you most of what you can do and what it's like, what are the difficulties that you can have. Okay, but then you can also understand some other aspects, like your north node is going to tell you a path of evolution. And I like to explore a lot the north node because it allows the person to have a point of view for evolving. You know, I like to use again the astrology as a way for improving the way we experience this precious gift of life. So when you have this opportunity by understanding, we can really go into a lot of detail in the natal chart reading. Normally I do my readings, I limit them to a little bit more than an hour, you know, because we can really go in depth, and you might need more than one session to really go into the details of to develop those aspects that you would like to be more aware of. As for the astrological services, I have the natal chart readings, but as you were mentioning, I also can tell you about the year in which you are experiencing. This is the solar return. I can tell you. This is another service in which we also require the understanding of the natal chart. But additionally, you can understand what kind of energies you are entering the year with, and also what are the lessons that you will have the chance to explore the most.
Yeah.
You know, in this way, then you can figure out with a little bit more of detail about your decisions throughout the year. So that's something additional to the natal chart. And additionally, I also do the synastry reading, which is a comparison of two charts. Normally, two people mm-hmm. that are going in a relationship and want to understand what are the challenges and the strengths of their relationship. This is very helpful. I actually think that is one of the things that I like doing the most, because in this way, like, I just feel that it's very helpful for people to not enter in fruitless relationships, you know?
Yes.
And sometimes you just want to understand the type of relationship that you're going into. And sometimes you are just blinded because you have a pattern that repeats. And the astrology can also help to understand this pattern. And it can definitely help and lead people to understand what is better, what are the things that need to be changed internally, so then you can start attracting the people that is more convenient. You know, we have the idea that sometimes a connection is enough for a relationship, but that's not true. The truth is that you can have a connection with a lot of people, depending on the karmic cycle that you're experiencing in your life. So you have to start considering what is convenient for me. What is that is really going to allow me to grow more, you know?
Absolutely. I think with Valentine's coming up, I'm sure a lot of people would be interested in the synastry readings to find out, am I in the right partnership right now? Is this person really compatible for me? And are we like, I guess when you're looking at the synastry, would you be looking at how there, like maybe, for example, in the woman's chart, are her planets squaring with her partner's planets? Would that be something that gets factored into the synastry reading? Or
that's true. Yeah, you get it. You get it. Absolutely. Yeah, those kind of interactions you want to understand. You can see what is their fate if they're going in a karmic relationship. Mm. Like if they have an important lesson to learn from the other.
Interesting.
And also the potential of creation. You know, what are the things that could make them like make something new, but also what could be boring with time, you know, also what could be the topics of discussion, what could be the things that make them not feel entirely stable or comfortable. And all of this is important to understand. You want to understand what is the archetype that is not allowing this relationship to feel entirely comfortable. Well, to say something, for example, you can have the Saturn in a bad aspect with the Moon. So then you know that the Moon is going to receive the influence of Saturn, which can be more hard for the Moon person.
Right.
You know, the Saturn is going to try to discipline the Moon, which is going to be like a child that is unconscious of what is happening, you know? It's like I'm out of a sudden receiving... someone is criticizing the way I do things, and I was not expecting this, you know. So understanding this gives some space for the Saturn person, and to understand that it's something unwilling, that is the way in which this person is being hard to himself. But also the Saturn person can understand that this person is in a subconscious process, and that it has to do with the primal education that had in life, you know. And then there is more patience that comes with this. Then you understand that it's a challenge because it can trigger you, but then you can develop more compassion towards the other, like when there is something that is really meaningful that you want to keep in a relationship, you know.
Wow, fascinating. I'd love to just see if any of our listeners, I see you're in the studio, Angie, would you like to ask any questions? Would you like to get on a call? And you're welcome to join us and ask some questions to Elias about astrology. Please don't be shy if anybody would like to ask questions before we continue. Let's see. Nobody. Everybody's being quiet. Okay. Those of you who don't want to get onto the call, actual live call, you can type your questions in the comment box. So please interact and ask your questions or share any insights you might be having as you're listening to this podcast. What has your experience been with astrology? If you've ever been to an astrologer. Okay. Wonderful. I was going to ask you something and now it's slipped my mind, but do you have...
It happens to me often.
Yeah. Do you oh, that's what it is. It just came to me. Do you have any insights about what's going on for February or March, and you know, any advice that you can give us about maybe some challenging planetary influences that are occurring now or in the near future?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually just having a look into the transits right now.
Oh.
I see that there is a great disposition for people to get in a connection, in a romantic connection. This is a moment in which the Mars and Venus are very close to one another, which normally manifests as making you more attractive and more willing to open to people. know? It's like there is a part of you that wants to feel satisfied and that also is willing to satisfy others. So normally the archetypes of the one that you become more flirty. You become more flirty, and you are also accepting the person that flirts more openly. You're willing to that interaction, you know? Like this could affect us, like in general, in the broad aspects. This is an energy that is available. And for someone that is already in a relationship, then it manifests as an openness to be with the other, to really connect, to get together. With passion, you know, like they want to reinforce their commitment by coming close to one another. There is importance about this. It just becomes part of their society, and it's understood that being together is a primal aspect of any idea that they want to grow upon creatively. So this is like a great when Venus and Mars come together, it's a moment of love and passion and allowing the other to get to know you. And these planets are now in Capricorn, so we also have this energy that is calling us for commitment. My point of view is that it's going to work better for someone that that is having something or that is seeking something stable. It's not that kind of energy for starting something new. Actually, it is a good time for also practicing your self-restriction, because now that you feel more open, you know, you might start something that you really don't want.
Oh,
So,
interesting.
you know, so when we have this openness, you want to connect more with the part of you that is for setting limits and really maybe having the conversations that are going to tell you, is this a good idea or not? You know, you normally are going to feel more open, but let's say, I don't know, if you are in a relationship and out of a sudden you meet someone that you like, and then no, that's not nice. You want to learn to understand that there are things that you need to move in your own persona to sort out your energies, and you don't want to hurt anyone in this process. You know, when these energies are available, you don't want to cause something in the future. You don't want to cause a karma for the future. All planets and all signs are karmic because they move the energy. They want things to happen. Planets want to keep the population increased, you know. Planets are just causing things to move in the range of animals. Things happen automatically. But we as people and having our divine soul, we have the ability to transcend the effects of the planets. And for example, now for a couple that is stable, that is established, that they have a commitment, it's a great time to come together with love and passion. But for someone that is just getting to know another person, it is better to take it slower, you know, with certain restriction and like really superimposing the kind of conversations that are going to lead to the understanding of those things that are important for the future. Do I want to commit in a society with this person that I just met? Probably not, right? So this is one of the energies that we have available. We see that in the collective there is tension. There is a reorganization of the world. There is a tendency to regroup. We have been experiencing in the past years and still, we're experiencing the renewal of our belongings. We might have experienced in the past couple of years that the people that we were used to, the people that we were considering our friends, they are not necessarily that compatible with us anymore. They have changed. We have changed. And now we are like, you might still feel attached to that people, like they are my friends. But are they still your tribe? Are they still the ones that you feel identified with? Do you all are pursuing the same ideals? You know, this is something that is making changes in the world, locally, but also internationally. There is this need of reagrouping and sorting out the territory. There is this topic of the figure of the man that is being, of the masculine, sorry, I should correct that. There is this, the archetype of the masculine is being placed in judgment. There are several things that are going to be transformed, which is normally causing tension to the traditional archetype of the masculine. And there is an imposed need of change. And so the change might feel like a lot of tension for everyone. Also, collectively speaking, right now, just in the past days, tomorrow, we're experiencing an especial identity with our emotions that are making us very susceptible and especially emotional. Yesterday, today, you might be experiencing an issue related to your parents, something, or with your family in general, something domestic, you know, like you might have this extended awareness of your limitations, and also you might feel more sentimental than usual. And well, this is a good time to also connect with being grateful. Like there is this tendency to then seeing just the illusions that are not fully accomplished. But then we also should be able to see that a lot of the things that are happening right now are the fruit of the things that we have been increasing in their value with our energies. We have been thinking about certain things that now are actually happening, and we need to bring our attention back to this. And it's better to not focus on the things that are not feeling that good. It's better to just going back to being grateful. I don't know, for example, you might have having some kind of difficulties with your partner. Like you might be just like very sentimental, both of you. But then you can be grateful because you have a partner, because you have a girlfriend, because you have a wife. Then you can start focusing more on this. And then in this way, it is decreased the intensity of this social transit, which is not going to last that much. You know, it's just a few more days, then it's going to move to something else. Actually, it's just it's decaying today. It's going to go mild, but then it's going to be increased again. We have these energies that are making us more distant. These are strong energies, are just telling us it is time to regroup. It is time to define which is our team, what are the ideals that we are pursuing, and just feeling infused with them. Just really define yourself into what is that you are going to be doing for the world. And yeah, well, in general terms and for this year, we can see that we have had this north node shift. We are in the north node in Taurus, which is going to manifest as the expressed or material effects of the seeds that were planted in around 2013,
Wow.
2012, 2014. What you have started at this time, what you were focusing your energy in, then, and then the things that you needed to sacrifice at this time, or the investments that you were doing, now they're going to be shown more grounded, more concisely, engrossed by your experience, by all this time that has happened, you're going to be able to see the material benefits of those seeds that you planted around that around this time, around 2013, 2014, 2012. And I don't know, like if you were starting studies in something, I don't know, let's say yoga, now you have developed your style. Now you have a voice in yoga. Now you have enough experience. Now you understand that you can take it to the next level. Now you have something unique to bring to the world, and then its value has increased because you have given a lot of energy to it. The investment that you did before now is manifested. So now you understand the real value of that investment, and it's going to bring good benefits financially, materially for everyone. We have the energy of Pisces expanded, so we all are going to be seeing opportunities coming. This is a great time for taking opportunities. This is a great time financially speaking. We are going to have new venues of income, and we should take advantage of this. We should be open to this energy that is very giving, and just really be open to receive. Move out from the unfruitful patterns and just be aware that now there are opportunities coming, and just get them, you know, be open to receive them, be a vessel of these energies and use them to your favor.
Wow, Elias, you've just shared so many gems with us today, and I just want to thank you for taking the time out to come on this podcast and share your wisdom and experience with yoga and Kabbalism. I can't even say, can you pronounce it for me? I'm so terrible with this. Kabbalistic?
No, of course.
How do you say it?
Kabbalah.
Kabbalah, thank you, Kabbalah. With Kabbalah, yoga, astrology. It's been a fascinating show, and I know that those of you who are listening in to the recording, I would recommend coming back to it again, because there's so many gems here. And once again, if you want to reach Elias to make an appointment, you can find him at Elias, E-L-I-A-S, F-A-L-L-A 1987, and I've written it here in the comment box, but Elias corrected it. It's only one L. And you can also find him on Facebook, Elias Gilberto Fala Martinez. Is it
That's
Fala
right.
or is it Fa? I know in Spanish, the double L is like Falla. It's like a Y.
Falla.
Is
the, That's right. Yes.
So, there are a couple of ways to find Elias. You know, I highly recommend getting an astrology reading from him. And I know for me, it was really helpful. And I just want to thank you for being on the show today, Elias. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle. My pleasure.
Yes. And for those of you who are seeking help, I'm still offering online healing sessions, and Reiki 1 is coming up at the end of February. So get in touch with me at www.spiritweaverjourneys.com. Thank you all for joining us today, and have a beautiful day or night wherever.